We did a very brief introduction into the subject of immunity. The title of the series is Immunity Through Uncommon Standards. Excuse me, so the word immunity at the moment is something that is a global phenomenon, in that vaccination for the coronavirus is a news topic that is being discussed every single day, both its pros and its cons. And immunization is a big part of every society at the moment. But for us that are sons of the kingdom, those that have received Jesus into their heart, have an understanding of what it means to walk in relationship with God, our Father, our perception of immunity must come from the scriptures in terms of how God protects us and exempts us from certain things. So we went through much definition last week, talking about the subject of immunity. But I spoke about how immunity from a more physical level was when people build a hedge around their vineyards or around their property. And the hedge was primarily made of thorn bushes to keep out wild beasts so that they would not come and attack what was within the property. And so I finished off talking about how Jesus was his head was pierced with a crown of thorns, and primarily focused on the aspect of how our minds have to be hedged in. Our minds have to be protected. Matthew 27:29, he talks about the twisted crown. And this is a mindset of keeping oneself so that we don't make ourselves vulnerable to attack. Now, I know that some of it was a little difficult to understand because we went into a lot of definitions. But these are ways when we allow or adopt certain mindset, certain beliefs, certain ways of thinking, we cause the hedge to be broken. And it firstly starts with the mind. And I spoke to you about different kinds of mindsets that prevail in this world that can very easily break the hedge. When I say break the hedge, that means break the protection that God gives us. I shared with you from Psalms 121, our God is our keeper. And during the week, I also sent out a song that was sung by Don Moon from Psalms 121, that he keeps us. Now, we discussed some mindsets like the hedonistic mindset, the egotistic deism, the Gnostic existentialism. And these are some of the prevailing mindsets that exist in the world today. Much of this is even taught in our universities. And remember that when you get into Babylon, part of their aim is to feed you their diet. And therefore, even when Daniel and his three friends were in Babylon, the first thing that happened to them was the change of clothing, the change of their names, the change of their diet, primarily to make them conform to the systems of Babylon. They had to learn the literature and the language that existed in Babylon. And we'll come back to that case study at a later at a later part of this series to talk about some of the uncommon standards that Daniel and his three friends maintained in Babylon that made them exempt even from the fire and from the lion's den, or protected them. They enjoyed such favor in a very antagonistic environment. Now, in our current context of fear, intimidation, fear of being sick, fear of getting infected, in fact, many cases of people that have passed on from this virus is due to anxiety and stress. Some of them become highly anxious and very stressed out when they just hear that they have been infected with the virus. So a lot of people are just dying because of what we will call the fear factor. But you and I must be very focused on the way God protects us and how he protects us and how he immunizes us and makes us exempt from certain things. As mentioned last week, it does not mean that you will not face the storm. It does not mean that you will not face the fire or the waters, because the Bible says when you go through the fire, so you will go through some things, like you might even get the coronavirus as we did. You might go through the waters. You might go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is with us. So when you build your house upon the rock, it does not mean that you will not face the storm, but you'll be immunized from the effects or the drastic effects of a storm. So all of that was covered in our previous session. Now, today, I just want to focus on one aspect, and it's a message that I shared actually some time ago, and it's more of a recap of a few things. We shared about how easy it is to break the hedge, and we used the verses from Ecclesiastes, etc. Now, David was in a position of great authority and power. He had come into his dominion. He had seen the fulfillment of God's promises. He had seen the word of prophecy that Samuel had made over him come to pass. And he was now the king of Israel. His boundaries and the expansion of the kingdom were just extending. And he had great favor upon his life simply because he was a man after God's own heart, and it was prophesied that he would become a very successful king. And while he came to this power, this rule of authority, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see how he stands on the roof of his place of abode. And while he was standing there, he saw Bathsheba. And we all know what happens after that, and that's not the focus of my message. But why was a king standing on his balcony allowed to view a woman bathing? And this simply because there was a regulation that was part of the law that when you build a house, you must always build something called a parapet. Now, by definition, a parapet is a low protective wall or railing along the edge of a raised structure, such as a roof or a balcony. And another word or a synonym for the word parapet that is used in the scriptures is the word bulwark, bulwark. The word bulwark means a wall or an embankment raised as a defensive fortification, or something called a rampart, serving as a defense or a safeguard. So when you talk about a parapet, you're talking about something that is protective, something that is defensive, something that fortifies you, something that safeguards you. Now, while we are talking about immunization, you have to know that you can remain immunized or exempted or protected if you learn how to build parapets in your life. In Deuteronomy 22, verse number 8, this is all part of immunization or protecting oneself. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, Moses speaking to the people, and he tells them, and this is, you know, before they would enter into the promised land, before they would come into the place of the land of milk and honey, a land of fruitfulness and plentifulness, a place of prosperity, all that God had promised them. And so this is what God said to them through Moses. He says, when you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household, if anyone, listen to the words, if anyone falls from it. Now, this is under Moses' regulations and laws, and we would call this a miscellaneous law. And so he's basically giving them some, let me put it this way, some building regulation. When you build your house, this is what you must do. So when you talk to people like Anthony or Quentin or Raj, they would know about building regulations, certain ways you have to build your house. So yeah, God is giving a building regulation. When you build a new house, this is what you must do. You must build a parapet. And the reason I'm asking you to build this parapet is so that you will not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. So basically, if you got a roof or you got a balcony, and most Hebrew houses always had a roof, and you could go onto the balcony of that area of the house, and you could spend time there. They would entertain guests. They would sometimes sleep out in the open because of the heat, etc. But this one instruction is make sure that you have a parapet so that no one falls from it. And then the guilt of that bloodshed will be upon you. Now, while a person can physically fall and be injured or even die, understand when we look at these texts from a New Testament lens, you and I are now the house of God. We are the new man. We are the new creation. So when God is saying to Moses, say to the people, when you build a new house, you must understand in the New Testament, you are the new creation. You are the new Jerusalem. You are that new house that he's talking about. And he's giving you a building regulation, because remember that as the new house, you are the son of God. And as the son of God, the word son in the Hebrew context means the builder of the family name. So if you had to write down your building regulation as part of building your new house, your new Jerusalem, your new creation, your new man, we are one new man in Christ. If you write down the building regulation, one of the building regulations would be build a parapet. Just tell your neighbor, build a parapet. You have to build a bulwark. You have to build a defensive system. You have to build a guard. You have to build a rampart. You have to make sure that your house is fortified. It has a defensive system. So the reason that we have to build a spiritual defensive system, a spiritual safeguard, is because there's something called the snare of the enemy, because he wants you to fall. Now, our fall is not just the physical fall, but our fall is where we fall into temptation, we fall into sin, and we fall into condemnation. So the Bible clearly says if a man digs a pit, he can easily fall in it. And sometimes we dig our own pits and fall into it because we have failed to build a safeguard and a rampart, to build something that becomes a defensive system for us. Let me give you a few verses just talking about this issue of being able to just fall. 1 Timothy 3 verse 6, and remember, Timothy was a growing preacher, he was a young pastor. He was appointed by Paul, and Paul, as a father, is writing to his son, giving him advice about many things. And in 1 Timothy 3, verse 6 to 7, he's saying, not a novice, and he's giving him the description of someone who is an elder in the church, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride. And when he is puffed up with pride, he will fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So if you don't have a defense mechanism against pride, you will fall into condemnation as the devil. Moreover, you must have a good testimony among those who are outside, meaning those that do not believe, those who are not part of the church, those who would be regarded as unbelievers, those who are of other faiths, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are outside, you must have a good testimony. lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So the aim of the devil or the enemy is to make you fall into reproach, make you fall into condemnation, so that you would lose your good testimony amongst other believers. And so often, we as the sons of God, we become victims of these snares where we lose our testimony simply because we did not follow the building regulation called building a rampart, learning how to build a defensive system around ourselves so that we can guard ourselves. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9, the Bible says, but those who desire to be rich, and some people have, they have a desire to be rich. They have, and you know, they desire to be successful. Now, this is not a, it's not a bad thing. It's not a something that is evil. It's not something that, you know, which would be regarded as someone who is being too ambitious, etc. It's, you know, you can have a desire to be rich. But the Bible says those who have a desire to be rich can easily fall into temptation, and it becomes a snare to them. So the very thing you desired, the very thing that you worked hard for, the very thing that you set goals for, the very thing that you would have plotted out your, you know, your 2-year plan, your 3-year plan, your 5-year plan, the very thing that you could have, you know, sat and worked out, and because this is how I'm going to become successful, and this is how I'm going to achieve my goals, and this is how I'm going to become rich and wealthy, you can fall into temptation, and that very thing that you planned yourself around becomes your snare. A snare is a trap, it's set for you, and the devil sets those traps so that you can fall. And it says you will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Because when you got money, you can fulfill your lusts. Some of those lusts that you may have for certain things are not, does not have any biblical precedent. And we have shared on many occasions why God would bless us, why God would make us wealthy, why would God make us successful. We have shared many messages regarding that. So I'm not going to touch on all this, but the wealth that we have can set a trap for us, make us fall into temptation, and then we find ourselves fulfilling our lusts, foolish lusts, with the very wealth that God blessed us with. And it says, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's a very strong warning from a father to his son in the faith, telling him, listen, if you desire to be rich, you can fall into temptation. It will become a snare for you. You can make foolish decisions because you're just fulfilling your lusts, and you can cause yourself to end up in destruction and perdition. In James 1 verse 2, yeah, James is using a different line where he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So sometimes the things that we fall into becomes our trials. Sometimes our weaknesses that we have become our trials. That's why he also encourages in James 5:12, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. That means people will judge you by what you say. When you say yes, it must be yes. When you say no, you must be no. If you give your word, keep to it. Because it would later, you are judged by your very words. So the same words that you use, it would judge you. And this is what it, the word is used, you would fall into judgment. So what you did is, when you opened your mouth and you said something, but you didn't keep your word, you broke the hedge. But when you break the hedge, you fall into judgment. This is the way we fall. Although I know some of you are thinking we really like some people to fall from the roof, but we are talking about falling in a spiritual context. Falling, another word we can use is the word failing to to keep certain standards as sons of God, like keeping our word, like ensuring that we're not falling into temptation and falling into reproach, having a good testimony. These are standards that we maintain. This is not conservatism. This is not being conventional. This is about the kingdom of God and its standards. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and when you became a son of God, it is expected that you would maintain certain standards. And those standards don't just happen immediately. They grow upon you as you build, 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 build. And as you build your life, you'll realize, hey, I've got to build a parapet to ensure that we remain protected. Now, we all know Job had a hedge around him to protect him. And in Job 1 verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, his possessions have increased in the land. And the reason that God hedged Job, hedged his household, protected him, because Job was a righteous man. Although at a later stage, we find out in Job's life, he became self-righteous. But at one point in his life, and you know, when we read Job chapter 34, for those of you that followed our Bible studies, we shared how Job in his former life, the way he lived his life, we could see certain standards that he maintained as a son of God, and therefore God blessed him, and he was hedged because God made a hedge around him, protected him. Now, every vineyard that was built, as I mentioned before, in Matthew 21 verse 33, and also if you read Isaiah chapter 5, God speaks of the nation of Israel as a vineyard, and it's in a parabolic language. And he says there was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, and we know that that vineyard is Israel. You can read it in Isaiah 5 as well. And he says, I set a hedge around it. Basically, I protected it. I built a defense system. I made a bulwark. I made sure that there was something to protect them. I dug a wine press in it. I built a tower so that we could see of impending danger. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. So we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are now that vineyard. And we have to ensure that the hedge that God puts around us is maintained, is protected. Because when the hedge is broken, as Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8, it says, and whosoever breaketh the hedge, the serpent shall bite him. So when the hedge is broken, you open yourself up for demonic invasion. You open yourself up and your family for all kinds of calamities. Now, I was very surprised yesterday when Dr. Segi released his video for this weekend, because the title of the message was Breaking the Edge. And I hadn't communicated with him about what we are sharing or immunization or any of that. So when I saw the title of the video, which was released yesterday, and I watched it, and I encourage all of you to, you know, to go onto his YouTube channel, the ABC channel, and you can watch the video. It's just half an hour on the ways that you can break the hedge. And he shares some very practical examples, even from his own experience, of how people break the hedge and cause or allow the serpent to come in. So, you know, what we are talking about is something that God is emphasizing now. And so you need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us. So if you allow the hedge to be broken, then the serpent will come in. Now, how do you practically build a parapet? Okay, now listen, I can't build a wall to save my life because I don't know about mixing cement and how to line up a wall. You want all that information, you can phone some of the contractors in our church. But there's a spiritual bulwark that you have to build, and there's some very simple things you can do practical things that you can do to ensure that the hedge is not broken. Now listen, I've got to give you both sides of the story. You can break the hedge by your actions and your ways, by certain things that we will do, that you can do. I shared how when we adopt certain mindsets last week, how you can break the hedge. If you listen to Dr. Segi's message, he will talk to you about how you can break the hedge. But I'm talking to you about how to build a parapet, secure your building, secure your house, make sure that you're not falling over. And sometimes there are basic things that we can do to build a good defense system, to build a good safeguard or a rampart so that we don't become victims of ourselves, victims of our own lusts and our own foolishness, and cause ourselves to fall. So number one, you should get into the habit of making pronouncements and proclamations over your family and your home. Now, when I say pronouncements and proclamations, you have to first understand this. You've got to stand for that pronouncement and that proclamation to be activated, for it to work as a covering, for it to become the hedge or become the rampart or become the place of protection. You have to firstly know the identity from which you must speak. So it's not because you say it, it will just happen. Okay? It's because of knowing your identity. And that identity is called sonship. So when you speak to make proclamations or to make pronouncements over your family or make declarations, you have to firstly know your identity, know your relationship with God, your Father, and stand in that representative identity to speak. Because when a son speaks, then the storms begin to fade away. When the son speaks, then creation responds. Okay? So that part you have to get right, that this is my identity in Christ. I am the Son of the living God. God is my Father. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 2, verse 7 to 9, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Then it says, today I have begotten you. Ask of me. So who can ask? It is the Son who asks. Ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. So it is the Son who must stand in his rightful identity with God as his Father and then speak over your family or make proclamations or declarations. Because we all know that death and life lie in the power of our tongues, as Psalms 18 verse 1, verse 21 tells us. And if we love it, we will eat its fruit. So one of the ways in which you build a defensive system in your family, or build a bulwark, or build a place where we ensure that we remain protected, is you make proclamations, you make declarations over your family, because you know the power of your words. You see, words transmit grace to people. You are listening to me this morning, not because you want a sermon, it's because you need grace. And grace comes through the commodity called words. When it comes to you, your spirit is transacting with my spirit in the form of words. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are releasing a grace transaction of divine immunity when you stand in the identity of sonship and you speak. So don't think because you took a few promises and you wrote it on the wall and you quote it every day and you say it that it's going to work. Because when things don't work out, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. You have to make sure that you get the identity right and speak from that position. But when you speak as the Son of God, that's what your mindset has to adopt. Don't adopt a charismatic mindset of cliches and declarations and saying things, and the blood of Jesus is going to cover us and this and that. And I hear people saying all this, and you know, we get all kinds of messages and fancy stuff and videos that are sent to us. But if you don't know your authority and you don't know your power as the Son of God, those words are just going to become words. But when you speak those words with understanding of the authority and the power that God has given you, it begins to craft the right environment, as we mentioned before, in your family. So you have to proclaim and pronounce, and you have to take scriptures that deal with God being your defense, deal with God being your shield, deal with God being your rampart, deal with God being your defensive system. That's why your children do not leave your home without a declaration over them. Don't go to work, don't leave your household without making a declaration over yourself. Those words become a shield. They become a defensive mechanism around you. So get into the habit of building this kind of rampart. I understood this in my life because I've traveled to so many places, and I would receive, even when my mother was alive, I would receive her words over me. Because when she prayed or she said something, I would receive what she said in terms of protection and grace. I would receive the words of the one that is called a father in my life, my spiritual father, whenever I would sometimes have the opportunity to go before him before I would leave to any nation. And he would pray and he would declare certain things over me. And one of the things was protection. So I become exempt from certain calamities. And I've been in cities where there were bomb blasts, where I was supposed to be at that place at that time, and we just took another turn and went to another area just for 10 minutes. And I was saved from those bomb blasts, saved from cars going off the cliffs because of declarations, saved from flights that were in turmoil at time with great turbulence. Why? Because there's a proclamation and a rampart defense system built around you by the words that we pronounce. So the words that we speak over our family are so important, over your children, over your spouse, over your marriage, over your business. And you have to do it regularly, because you speak as you stand in the authority of the sons of God, and you speak. In that way, you are building your defensive system. Now, another way to build your defensive system is the engaging of apostolic culture, as we all know about. And again, I just want to reiterate something. And we always emphasize to you how every day you get your family together. You should spend some time in prayer, read the devotional, partake of the communion. And all this was taken by the example that the early church established when they received Christ into their hearts. And in Acts chapter 2 down, after the day of Pentecost. But you know, this culture is called an apostolic culture. Let me just define that a little bit. Now, I shared with you in the original language of the word apostle, this word was used long before we saw it in the Bible. And basically, it is adopted from a secular context. And when it is translated into the English version, the Greek version of the word apostolic or apostle, apostolos, came from the fact, and even the Romans borrowed it from the Phoenician empires. And when they would take a new nation, which had their own culture, every new nation that the Roman Empire conquered had their own culture. But the Roman emperor would send someone into that new nation that they had conquered with their new cultures that they had. He would send someone with a fleet of ships to go into that new nation and to establish Roman culture within this new culture. And this culture would begin to affect every aspect of society, from the legal system, the educational system, the language, the finances, the government, even the entertainment. It would all be affected by the culture of Rome. Now, why am I emphasizing this? You and I are sons of the kingdom of God, and we are sent into this world, just as Jesus was sent into the world, to establish a very unique culture. This is why we're in this world and not of this world. Now, when I make statements like that, it doesn't mean that you have to be segregated, you have to be isolated, you have to be independent. No. I shared many times with you how Jesus sat with publicans, sinners, tax collectors, religious people, Pharisees, government officials. He sat with all of them. But the culture that you represent is different. So when we say impose an apostolic culture, that culture becomes your defensive system in a time of crisis, because you are establishing the culture of the kingdom of God. And I've seen this protect marriages. I've seen it protect businesses, because when the culture was established, you can go and read all the benefits of it. The fear of the Lord was there. Signs and wonders were there. Oneness was there. Joy and gladness was there. Stability was there. Growth was there. Favor was there. So all of these are the results of maintaining an apostolic culture. But I'm using it in the context of building a parapet. Now, all of you may say, I know this, Pastor, you know you are saying something that we all know. The problem is when you get too used to doing something, you take it for granted. And you don't realize the value of it. So, once again, I want to encourage you to maintain a strong apostolic culture and maintain it with an apostolic mindset. That we are imposing a culture that is different from this world. Now, in the same vein, if you want to, you know, make sure that this edge is not broken and the parapet remains intact, don't expose, we must not expose our, overexpose ourselves to worldliness. Now, Ezekiah did this. He had such favor from the Lord, but when the envoy from Babylon came, he went and he showed them the entire house. And you can read it in 2 Kings 20, verse 14 to 18, how Isaiah the prophet went to the king and he asked him, what did these men say and where did they come from? And Ezekiah said, they came from the country of Babylon. They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And Isaiah said to him, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. Why? Because Hezekiah exposed his household and the treasures to a Babylonian culture or worldliness. Making TikTok videos of your granddaughter dancing is exposing yourself to something. You must be very, very careful that you don't expose yourself to worldliness. Build a rampart. Protect your family. Protect your children. You don't know how people are trolling the internet. looking for all kinds of information. Okay? Don't overexpose yourself when you go to your, you know, in our Indian culture, when we go out to our mama's house and then they're having a dance. You must be able to build your rampart. Thank God right now you can't go to mama's house. But I hope you're not behaving like a black mamba in your own house. Or a green mamba for that sake. You have to ensure that you keep your rampart. Now, you know, our children, because they have access to a lot of information, they have access to the internet, and many of them now have to study online and have to study lots of information. They remember that they are exposed to a lot of things. If you have given your child a cell phone, I tell you, you have to be praying very, very, very much for your child. Because what they have access to, you cannot control. You have no control over it. What the ability that they receive when they get that device is very dangerous. And you will not be able to control it. And please listen to me this morning. I'm speaking to you with great sincerity and also speaking to you with great clarity and lastly with great care. I also have children. Be very careful what you are allowing your children to be exposed to. Worldliness will creep into their lives, and before you know it, you will be left with a very difficult situation on your hands. You have to build a rampart. That is why a child should have some regulations when they have access to that kind of material. Because they will be exposed to things that are beyond your control. Now, when you expose yourself to that kind of worldliness, you will find that certain mindsets start to overtake the home. And this is when you know you broke the hedge. And when that hedge is broken, the only way God will speak to you is through a trial. He'll get your attention. Suddenly, from worldliness, you'll start fasting and praying. Because you didn't listen when God was speaking. So, build your rampart. I just gave you three. I got 10. Our time is already up. Make a proclamation. But stand in your identity as sons when you make the... Elijah was a prophet of the Lord. When he spoke, why did the rain stop? Because he was standing in a specific authority and identity. Make sure that you maintaining the culture, an apostolic culture, a unique culture, culture that is different from this world. Maintain it. It's a standard. Remember that immunity is connected to maintaining uncommon standards. People will mock you, people will criticize you, people will persecute you, but you maintain your uncommon standard. Make sure that you are not exposing your family to worldliness. You have to build your own defense system. Make sure that there's a protection that can be over your family. Okay? Now, this subject of building a parapet is extensive. But you have to know that your defense system must be maintained. Next week, we will get into many examples of immunity in the scriptures and then talk about in the future session some of the uncommon standards we have to maintain so that the hedge is not broken. The Lord bless you. I trust that you have enjoyed the session today. Amen.